we don't have much else that we can even think about. We come before you to worship you.
Nothing can separate.
Again today to investigate your love. Your love that never fails. Your love that always goes on and on and keeps on and on and on. On and on and on it goes. Your love never fails, but keeps on. It keeps on. And we are grateful for that. So today we open our hearts. Let's each of us do that intentionally. Open our hearts to investigate your love, to receive more, to know more, to receive your love for us. Thank you for your love.
Thank you.
be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, He is my song. You are good, good. Oh, You are good, 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 good. Oh, You are good, good, good. Oh, You are good, good, good. You're never gonna let, You're never gonna let me down. Oh, never gonna let, You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, You're never gonna let me down. Oh, never gonna let, You're never gonna let me down.
You are good.
Oh, never gonna let, You're never gonna let me down.
You are good.
You're never gonna let, You're never gonna let me down.
You are good.
You're never gonna let, You're never gonna let me down.
You are good.
You're never gonna let, You're never gonna let me down.
You are good. You are always good. You are always better than we thought. You're always good. So good. So good. Help us to believe in You and Your goodness.
Of the Godhead within our humanity, flesh and bones sown in the heart of God inseparably. I know, and I believe You are the Lord. Justice and mercy, Your burden is light, and Your yoke is easy. I know, and I believe You are the Lord. I know, and I believe You are the Lord. It's yours to know You, Lord, to touch Your wounded side and know the joy.
We choose to believe like we've never believed before. We choose to be done with lesser things. We choose to be done with unbelief. We choose to believe you. You are our Lord. You are our God. We set our eyes on you and choose to believe you. Before you, asking you to transform us by your love into your very image this day. Help us to believe that you can and are. We love you. We love you.
I wonder if we just might look at that first verse again, Coralie. Just the words of that very first verse. The fullness of the Godhead knit with our humanity. Just think about that. Knitting means it's kind of all tangled together. The fullness of the Godhead knit with our humanity. Why would he ever want to do that? You would think he's smart enough to skip that part, you know, but he invested himself in us. Flesh and bone sown in the heart of God inseparably. Incredible. I know. I don't know that we do know. My goodness, this is bigger and better and more entangled than we thought. And because that really does give us a picture of something that's, you know, we almost think, you know, God dwells with us, you know, it's kind of like a container. And here it is. And so the water represents him and the container represents me. And of course, I can dump the water out. And, you know, but they're really separate. They're the same, but they're separate. But that's not what that says. And that's not the truth. He has entangled himself with us, which is, that's incredible. Rooted
in, entangled, intertwined and meshed.
And then we sing, I know, and I believe you are the Lord. Whoa, 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 whoa. This is, we're not talking about a glass of water. We're talking about an entanglement of his doing. And
of his intentionality.
His purpose. Beautiful thing. I just thought when we sang that song, that first verse, I thought, oh my goodness, I've sung that, oh, I don't know, let's say 30 times in the course of my life. And I read the verse this time and I thought, oh my, this really says something.
We choose this moment to believe in your ability to accomplish an incredible entanglement and to even cause us to believe the truth of the implications of that incredible entanglement. Thank you so much for your goodness. We do know, and we do believe you are the Lord God who can do such an incredible thing to your glory, to your glory.
It Amen. Almost seems like the entanglement is a mistake. The word entangle sort of speaks of mistake. It's messed up. It's a deliberate, intentional entanglement. That's incredible. Am I on now?
You're right.
Oh my goodness, that was quick. Sit down, be quiet, listen to the old man. By the way, I'm the old man, just in case you wanted to know. Here we go. Today is the seventh day since we began the prayer thing, and I'd just like to read something for those of you that have been doing this. I don't know what day you're on. You might be on the 8th or 10th, but if you started with Monday, today is the 7th, and I want to read something. If you have your sheet, you can look right with me. It's the prayer. Lord, I receive your love. Help me to love the people in my world the way you want me to. Show me the ones I have ignored, rejected, or loved with the selfish love of my own making. That line. Show me the ones I have ignored. Anybody you ignored? Show me the ones I have rejected. Show me the ones that I have loved with a love of my own making. I'd like you to think about that for a moment. We can be nice to people. Being nice is nice. We can love with a love of our own making. We can reach out and shake their hands and say, hey, it's good to see you. The world can do that. Isn't that true? You don't need God to... You say, good morning, it's good to see you. I can pull that off. But what eternal value is that? Life is a little bit nicer if people are smiling and saying good morning to each other, but in terms of any significant value, I'm loving with a love of my own making, which really accomplishes little. If we believe the scriptures, it says if I even give my body to be burned or give all my possessions to feed the poor, without his love, it accomplishes nothing. It's of no value to me. So today, may I move by your spirit in harmony with your great heart of love, and may your kingdom and your name be glorified as you love through me, in Jesus' name. We said we're going to do that this week and repeatedly pray the prayer. And I started to say last week that if you would do this repeatedly, I guarantee you it will accomplish good things for you. And then I modified that to say that Jesus said if you ask and keep on asking, you'll get it. And so I don't guarantee it. He guarantees it. And so this morning I'd like to just give you a chance to say, did you do it? Or what did you succeed in seeing happen in the course of your week as you treadle down this little road of opening your heart to receive the love of God to be expressed in the middle of your world? Anybody want to comment? If not, I'll comment myself. But if you... Okay, I'll brag on one. And then Dorothy, would you share two or three? And then I'm going to talk about something else. But the bragging, let me brag on this. I began this particular prayer, you know, just a little over a week ago when you got it for yourselves. But I've been at it for two or three weeks. And I have found that I have discovered love in my life for people that is different than was there before. It's just, I don't mean to say everybody that I have in my world, but I discovered that, oh, this is different than what I knew before. That would say to me that what we are attempting to do is producing fruit in at least the life of one person. I'd like to think, and maybe it's true, I don't know. I can't tell that it's different for everybody in my world, but it has proved to be different for some people in my world. And I would suggest that it could be for everyone, although I'm not confident that I can prove that. But I can see and recognize that quite... It just happens, you know. It isn't like, okay, gritted teeth, I'm going to show more love here. It's just there, and it's real. It's genuine. And that is the grace of God being manifested in me. You'd think that by now I'd have it down and still working on it and not doing too well. Anybody else want to share something? Dorothy, could you share a couple items? Anybody else that... Yes, Ron. Do we have a mic? Yes, we do. Hang on there, Ron. I'm coming to you. Number six?
Okay. Devotionals, right?
Yeah.
I started to feel like, wow, am I not doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Or is this a process? Well, I, you know, agape love, right? Isn't it love without unconditional love, right? Yeah. For everybody. Everybody. And I thought to myself, is this even possible? Or is it a process of working towards that? That's, I guess it sort of shook me a little. That I'm not really very far in that walk.
And it is a process, and it is a thing that God does. If we were to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, I mean, I guess we could do that, and we could determine to go around and smile at people and say, oh, it's so good to see you, Ron. Well, Ron even figures that out, doesn't fly very far. It is something of God's working in our lives. Anybody else want to comment? Okay, anybody else? Dorothy, you want to do a couple or three? Dorothy wrote a whole letter. If you want more, Dorothy really climbed through a whole bunch, but she just going to share a few of them this morning.
Okay, my first bullet points is love is no negativity. This is what God has been teaching me, no negativity. Blessing instead of cursing people, and it brings life to the situation. Okay, so I went through the numbers on our sheet from last week. And this is where Pastor George said there's too much there. So anyways, I'm just going to shorten it. The Lord has been working on me for about the last 2 months. So he's already been in the process of doing this sheet, teaching me how to love. On this issue, is my mind would gerbil over and over again in a circle with negative thoughts about situations. I've been fighting this for years and wanted to be set free of the and wasting of time that there is so much to be praying about and doing. Finally realized that I needed to bless those that were hurting me or whatever, and so set out working on blessing those that curse or hurt me. It takes time and practice. It was practice over and over again when I would start gerbiling and going, and okay, I'm going to bless them. But finally, in a more timely fashion now, then the Holy Spirit taught me just about 3 weeks ago that the other people are living a death. They're just living a death in their situations, and it speaks about it on here. Okay, just as I mentioned in points two and three, I combine. Now what do I do and how do I love? I can now, which is on our notes, I can now pray for them more effectively. I have been given the opportunity to write letters or text or talk to people. I think my next one, well, that's okay. So anyways, answering point four, how all men will know. I was in a situation where we were, there's a whole big mess going on right now out there. And three of us were together talking about how we were going to solve this issue. And at the end of it, one person, I didn't know what she was thinking, but she thought maybe we were coming to grumble and complain. And we were there to, with purpose to work the situation out. So how do they know? That was one person that knew that something was happening in our lives. I keep asking God and I'm open to hear what and who is next to work with in the these situations. I'm skipping. My joy is becoming more complete as I work with God on these matters to iron out the issues at hand rather than my grumbling, whining, and gerbling. And then I put in caps, constant blessing those that have hurt me. The other thing I have learned recently is that if it is not a blessing that we send out, it is a curse, which ultimately is witchcraft and keeps the Holy Spirit from moving mightily in our lives and in the lives of others. I would encourage you to move forward by taking the time to bless those that curse you. This is not a hyper grace or by flattery or manipulation or control, as I am teaching in my letters as well with the situations that have happened. I'm teaching them. And because I'm blessing, when a situation comes back at me in a negative, I am protected now. God has protected me. It's like nothing can cut through that barrier of protection. So I can take. I took a lot. I bless each one here today with grace and peace and love to move forward on your journey in blessing others.
Amen.
I didn't put it on here, but I am a prop person and I love to have fun. So there's a song on Mirror in the movie Mirror Mirror. I believe in love, love.
I believe in love, and I want to say that there probably isn't anything more necessary for the body of Christ than to be developing this reality. Every other call of God, every other command, expectation of God, hangs on whether or not we operate in love. Nothing else is more important than to release the love of God into our lives and into our world. Anyone else wanted to share on what the Lord is saying to you this week? I'm really trying to get it related to this week, this past week. Yes, I don't know what happened to Mike. Pat.
Just that the Lord said there were many kinds of love.
Uh-huh.
And so there's embracing love, there's correcting love, selfish love, tough love, and declaring love, but we might be declaring it for our own gain.
Sure. We really need, if we're going to talk about the love of God, I want you to get this. You don't just say, okay, good things I could think of, and I'm going to go do one of those good things. Forget it. Forget it. God doesn't need your invented good things. God has assignments for you that flows out of a heart of love, and some of that may not look like love to you, but if God says it's love, so don't dump it. Grab it and run with it. But it starts with God. It flows from God. This verse of that song, the entanglements of God in the hearts of people. Incredible. We need to operate in those things. Yes, Paula.
Well, first up, just this minute, I was reminded of something interesting that happened yesterday. We were on the way to deliver boxes to a group that was handing out 31 boxes to needy veteran families in the area. Oh, God, it's so good, because I got tied up with something on my phone, forgot cards for it, and that morning, God reminded me, so I had a half hour to make up a card, print it, cut it, get it ready. So on the way there, I'm cutting them and I'm writing on them, and it was really sharing love with them from our fellowship to them, and thanking them for their service and all of that. And I'm like, you know, just as I'm doing that in the car, all of a sudden my ear tunes into this song that's playing, and it's that one. I scribbled down the lyrics really quick because I was so touched by it. I'll send an SOS to the world. I hope that someone gets my message in the bottle, sending out an SOS. I keep saying that over and over. And I'm like, Lord, we are, you know, these little cards, this is our bottle. We're sending out a love message on this card, and we're doing this. We're doing the legwork with it. I mean, everybody knows food pantry. But, Lord, our heart is for your love to get to them and for them to be drawn to you.
So, Lord, do only what you can do, and, you know, the food, the card, everything. But, Lord, for each and every family that those are going to, and then I was praying for Wayne County, just, Lord, for the world, Lord, you know, we are given the ministry of reconciliation, and in our what we do, and in our hearts, and in our love, and in our prayers, our hearts are just for those to be, to come to know.
Say a couple things. Do you have more things you want to say?
Yeah, I do, but okay. Go ahead.
I'll just say real quick two things. One is the food pantry this Thursday. I just want you to know I'm blessed that somehow we, as a congregation, support that ministry. I really appreciate you guys, us together, working this thing because lives are changed and shifted. I had just a really wonderful, several wonderful connections, you know, with individuals that were just, I'm confident that the love of God got in, okay? And that the seeds of truth got in. And life is going to come from those things. And so that's I guess testimony one. I'll just tell you there was one really fun one with a girl that came and she said she listened to my message and she said to me, you know, I am not usually a religious person, and she had raised in a religious home, but expressed the fact that she just didn't really consider herself a religious person. So I had, of course, the opportunity, as you guys well know, to say, well, neither am I. I'm not a religious person either. And she kind of thought that was a little funny, a little odd. But it got us started, and we had just a fantastic conversation because the Lord was touching her heart. Even as we spoke, she was slightly undone by the impact of God on her at that very moment, you know, working right at that moment. And so I had some encouragements and some instructions for her, and it was good. And I know that she talked with my cousin a little bit later, and my cousin said that she had told her that she had met the priest and that he was a little different, and that's good. You know what I'm saying? That was and I know that God is at work. You can remember her. I'm not going to give you her name, but you can remember her in prayer. But there were several others that I know very specifically God was inserting his love and releasing shift in their lives. So that's an encouragement. For me personally, you guys remember last Sunday, my sermon really focused on the fact that if you want to love more outwardly, the starting point of that is to receive more. And for me, this week was about that. It was really about receiving more. And I really feel like the Lord has begun a new level of healing in me in this week through his love, receiving more. So that's just my little tiny personal testimony.
Okay. In your bulletin, you received a small sheet. I want to work with that. If you didn't get a bulletin, David will give you one of those small sheets. And while he's getting it to you, I want to talk to you. I did talk. Was there anybody else that wanted to share something this morning that has worked its way into you due to the prayer related to love that we've done this past week? I want to say something very significant. So pay attention for a significant comment. It's critical that we carry what we hear here, what we hear in this place, into our daily walk. It's silliness to hear the stuff and let it collect dust on the doorstep of the church. It needs to go home. It needs to be implemented in our lives. I'm going to tell you, we're going to read that thing in just a moment, but I want to talk to you briefly about what happened to me about 2 months ago. I got a call from, well, actually, it's convoluted, but I got called upon to minister to somebody in Rochester, and the person calling for that lives in another state, and he said that this man in Rochester, he couldn't reach him, but the man was struggling with depression and discouragement, and not a poor man, a wealthy man actually, and just life was too much to handle. And depression was creeping in on him, and I wondered if I would just touch base with this guy. So, you know, I just love to call people that I don't know and don't know me, and where do you start? And, real delight. And so I called him and introduced myself and mentioned the name of the guy that called from another state. And well, at least he knew that guy, so okay, I have a. The door is open a crack. And I talked with him and prayed with him. And I would have maybe 4 or 5 times in the weeks since then we have communicated. And tried to show compassion and love, tried to reach him. Last night, between 8 and 9 o'clock, I get a text from the guy that's out of state. And he says, this guy is in the hospital. He tried to commit suicide. And concerned about his survival, shot himself in the chest. So the question is, did I love adequately? You see, every one of us have people in our world who are desperately needy. You don't have to get a phone call from out of state to find them. They're right in your world. And they're desperate. And they're looking for somebody who will love them just a little bit. And they don't know it, but what they need is a word from the Father. Maybe they do know it, but maybe they don't know it. They don't need somebody to come and smooch them on the cheek. They need the Father to embrace them. Last night, I get the call. Well, actually, it was a text. And the guy is still needy, and the opportunity is still there. I was struggling with the question about related to failure. Are you aware that there's somebody in the Bible who failed in that regard? Well, I didn't know there was until this morning when I was fussing with the question. And I heard or understood or suddenly realized that Jesus had that problem too. And the man who committed suicide was Judas. You say, well, he deserved it. Well, maybe. Jesus loved perfectly, and Judas died. Did Judas fail in that regard? Anyways, there's an element of comfort there for me, and besides, my patient hasn't died yet. By the grace of God, he's still alive, and just maybe I'll love enough to carry the love of God to him. I want you to hear this. Every one of us have people in our worlds who are desperately needy. They may not be in the place of committing suicide this week. But every time they turn away from God, they die a little. And what they need is somebody who will carry the heartbeat of God into their world. And you want to know, there are people in your world that I will never see. And they may never hear my voice. If they're going to hear from God, it may well be that you are the one to carry the heartbeat of God to them, bringing life to them in a dark world where all they can see is death. Perhaps we could pray for this man. We'll call him George's man or something. And so, Father, I do pray for this man. And Lord, I don't know where to begin, but to begin again is an opportunity. And I ask that there would be grace to speak your word, your love, your compassion, your hope into this man. May there be hope and life for him. I pray in Jesus' name. The little sheet that you have, I'd like us to read it together responsively. And I'd like you, I pray, Father, that you would cause us to read this not as if it were a Bible verse or scriptures, but read it as if it were the voice of God speaking to us. I'll read the black and you read the blue, and I suspect we'll get interrupted as we go. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another. Maybe we should say start to love one another, but anyways, continue to love one another. For love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Go ahead.
God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son.
Can we pause
into the
there
world?
For just a moment? He's beginning to define the love of God. Go back to the verse, but anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And then the next verse begins to define what that love looks like. He didn't just come along and pat you on the shoulder and say, I like you. That's not it. The definition is now being developed. Go ahead and read it again. God showed
how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins.
Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other.
No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us.
I'd like you to notice that there is something of the life of God that's connected with the love of God. You see that? That's in that verse. And notice this, that it appears that his love is brought to full expression in us as we participate with him. Do you see what's happening here? It's one thing that his love is available, but it's another thing for it to be fully expressed, laid out in its fullness.
flesh and blood sewn in together, intrinsically and inseparably meshed in.
Yes. That's what you were thinking too.
Yes.
And the more we participate, the more vital that becomes a reality. This is not about religion, by the way. This is about relationship in which the life of one is impacted with the life of another. First of all, vertically with us, but then secondarily, the life of the vertical one impacts the life of the horizontal one. Do you follow that? There's a flowing into. If we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. Where are we at? We at 13 now?
13, yep.
And God has given us his spirit as proof we live in him and he in us.
Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God.
We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love. And all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. I'd like you to read just that dark, all of us, read it together. God is love. And all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. We can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in the world. Notice this, that the judgment, the comments about the judgment have to do with the current lifestyle. What's going on in our lives now enable us to step into judgment and say, the same Jesus that I've been living with for the last 40, 50, 70 years is the judge. I know him. He knows me. We're good. Do you see the difference? There's no fear. Do you see that? That we very nicely like to quote the verse, there's no fear in love. We need to look at the basis of that reality, which is that integrated, what's it called?
Flesh and blood sewn in the heart of God inseparably.
And so when we show up at the judgment, we say, this is just one more step. I know who the defense attorney is. I know him personally. And I know who the judge is. I know him personally. I think this is going to be a shoo-in.
We work together on a daily basis.
Yeah. So judge, when you ever hear somebody talking about there's no fear in love, recognize they're talking about something a whole lot more than just something like that. He's talking about a lifestyle. Where are we at, George?
18. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we're afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love.
We love each other because he first loved us.
John says, I love God, but hates a Christian brother or sister. That person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see?
And he has given us this command. Those who love God must love their Christian brothers and sisters also. I'd like to read to you, and we're going to sing a song. Go ahead, George, and we'll get ready for the song. But I'd like to read to you the prayer that we have prayed this week. Lord, I receive your love. Help me to love the people in my world the way you want me to. In this number 7, if you go back up in your sheet, number 7, if the love of God has been poured out in my heart, is my current love concerning my brother adequate, up to date, sufficient? Concerning my boss? Concerning my enemy? Is the love of God flowing through me concerning my enemy, concerning my boss, concerning my spouse, concerning my next door neighbor? Is the love of God being manifested there? Or do we just shrug and say, well, nobody's perfect? Have I hindered God from full expression in my life? And so the prayer reads like this. Lord, I receive your love. Help me to love the people in my world the way you want me to. How do I love the people in my, the way you want me to? You know, I want you to get this. There isn't a rule book. If you go around trying to love everybody exactly the same way, you'll fail to love them. Because what they need is not the rule book. They need a relationship with the lover of their souls. Show me the ones I have ignored and rejected or loved with a selfish love of my own making. I could also say, forgive me for the ones I've ignored or rejected or slapped up with silly foolishness. Today, may I move by your Spirit in harmony with your great heart of love. And may your kingdom and your name be glorified as you love through me. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a song, but just before we go there, you may have noticed that the Metzes are missing this morning, and we should remember to pray for our brother. He's struggling with illness and fell down this week, but he's been sick ever since. And let's pray for him right now. Lord, we do pray for Tommy and Bonnie. And we pray that the love and the grace and the mercy of God would be manifested in their home today. Pour into them the grace that is needed for them in this hour. What they need, specific to their needs, we release your grace specific to their needs in Jesus' name.
And we release healing yet again into Tom's body. Thank you, Lord, that he is the healed of God because you have healed him. And we just release healing into him again in Jesus' name. Amen.
Is going to share with us this morning, I think, and so, but before we go there, I'd like to just say one thing about surrendering all. You just promised to do something you can't do. You can let go of a few things, but the truth, you can choose. That's where I'm going, and I'm on the way, and I'm going to choose step by step. Day by day, hour by hour, I'm going to get there. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's in process. And I'd like us to say, that's where I'm at. I'm in process. I'm willing to go there. I'm on the way, and I will get there. And the beauty of this, I just want to say something. God loves you so much that he's put up with you all these years, entangling himself with you and blessing you and keeping you alive and encouraging you and pouring out his grace upon you. Isn't that good? I mean, how many of you think you deserve what you've been getting? I don't want what I deserve. I appreciate all the mercy and grace that God offers, and I receive that with thanksgiving. Amen. This last food pantry, somewhere around, 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we got word that we're going to have a truck of 7 pallets for Thanksgiving.
If you know anything about 7 pallets, 7 pallets is way too little for a regular, say nothing about a Thanksgiving one.
It was hopelessly small, 7 pallets. We usually get 20, and we're going to get 7. And we're talking about Thanksgiving. And Paula called and said, help, or something like that. And grace and mercy prevailed up at the other end of the chute. And we got the 2 trucks that we needed. I don't think we got all 20 pallets, did we? Did you know how many pallets we got?
Around
20. So we got what we were supposed to get, but it was only at the last moment that broke loose and we had all that we needed because of God's mercy and grace. We're thankful for God's grace to us. If that's an example over and over and over again in our lives, in our experience, and in the food pantry, the abundance of God's grace just blows us away.
It does. Stay right here for a second. Anybody want to see me hassle my dad a little bit?
Oh, brother.
Come on. Guys, he hassles me all the time, okay? Yeah, I got a lot of support here, Papa, just so that you know. Okay, so now I have a question for you.
Where's your love for the underdog?
I have a question for you. Are you enmeshed, entangled, intertwined with the Godhead?
I am, so you better watch yourself.
Okay, I'm watching. Okay, so now, this guy, George's guy, okay, what does he need?
He needs to be entangled.
He needs a relationship with God, am I right?
Yep.
I have a question for you. What's the distinction between a relationship with God and a relationship with you?
It's hard to define how that would be different.
So what does he need?
He needs me.
He needs a relationship with the God that is so entangled in you. Now I have a question for the rest of you. What's the distinction? I'm not saying I have the right answer. He gave the right answer, which is I'm not really sure how to help how to answer that question. But my question for you, Pat, is what's the distinction between somebody having a relationship with you, entangled as you are, infused as you are with the Spirit of God, and a relationship with God Himself? And, you know, maybe there's a distinction. Maybe. But let me just tell you something. Maybe there's not too, kinda. Because you have within you the fullness of the God that those people out there desperately need. And you know what? The way they're going to get connected in with Him? The way the guy is going to get connected in with God is because Dad's going to cart the Godhead that he serves. He's going to take that in the vessel that he has. He's going to take that to wherever he needs to take it so that the guy can meet him. That body right there that has infused within it the Spirit of George and the Spirit of God is going to walk over someplace, and relationship with God will begin as soon as relationship with George begins. Oh, I'm not saying that you're the Savior of the world, but I am saying you house Him, and it's entangled so tightly that it's hard to tell the difference. I'm not trying to make a theology out of this, but I'm going to tell you that you are called to so clearly represent God in your love that they have a hard time figuring out where you start and He ends. Because it should be just exactly that. And it's really hard to figure out where one starts and the other ends. Amen?
The prophets of our day that are hearing God are saying that the church, the move of God on the church today and what's coming down the pike on the church today is exactly that thing. Church, as we have known it, is on the way out. Church, the last days church, the glorious church that will usher in the coming of Jesus is exactly what you're talking about. They will carry the presence of God wherever they go, and the presence of God will impact their world. Almost, much like, you think the New Testament is glorious? The last days will be even more glorious. And when Peter walked down the street, people would rush over and try to get near his shadow because they could get healed by the shadow of Peter. Well, figure that out. The last days will be even more glorious, and God is looking for vessels to carry that glory into the end time church.
So you say, I am that church. Say it.
I am that church.
Say, I am that church.
I am that church.
I bring the presence of God.
They
can't know me without beginning to know God. That's the facts, okay? That's true of who you are and who you are called to be. I want you to understand that and receive and declare that. There's still a few green chairs remaining, so I want to encourage you, continue to encourage you to invite those around you where you can. I do. Let's do it. Let's invite, okay? For God so loved the world, there's a beginning. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. That's the beginning. That He gave His only begotten Son to you and to me. For God so loved the world. So let me just say, having begun with His love. Next verse. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. Having begun with His love, having begun now to know a little bit about His love and to believe His love, to become instructed by His love and to be defined by His love. What love are we defined by? His love for us. That's who we are. What love are we instructed by? His love for us. Don't ever let go of His love for you. Don't stop. Don't shy away from. Grab a hold of. Pursue hard after the love of God for you. And yes, for others. But for you, because you need that. Next verse, we love because He first loved us. So let me just say, so for God so loved, that was your beginning. We know and have begin to believe His love. That's our instruction and our process, okay? But now having begun, empowered by the receptive love of God, motivated by it, measured by it, where are we going to go next? Nowhere. We stay right there in the love of God. It's so essential. I again want to thank the Lord for you, you who love. I really appreciate you. I appreciate you being here and being together with us. I appreciate that you are those who have received love and that give love. I just want to encourage you to continue to receive love. Keep on receiving more. Be sure that it is the same precise process of receiving the love of the Father that will continue to accelerate us. God is love, and the one who abides or remains in love remains in God, and God remains in Him. There's this continuous necessity of remaining in that place. There is so much I want to share with you today that I feel like I have an overwhelming amount to share. And so I'm asking the Lord to give me wisdom about how to do that. Ephesians chapter 1 says that Father blesses us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. Are we willing to believe that? Are we willing to believe that? Ephesians chapter 1 teaches us because of His amazing kindness that God, before creation, designated you personally to be His child, to become just like Him, to be receiving His love perfectly and to be giving His love perfectly. That's His. Before creation, before there was a something, a place, a time, before there was a person, He selected you. This is because of the amazing magnitude of His great favor in you and choosing you. It's actually a little bit mind-blowing if you think about it for very long, that He would choose you both to receive the incredible magnitude of His love and favor, and that you would be distributors thereof. Those are amazing things. Look at that, I got through a page already. Thank God. Let me just talk to you. One of the chapters that I really want to look at a little bit today is Psalms chapter 84. Psalm chapter 84 starts out this way. It says, "How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts." I have a question for you. What are His dwelling places? Raise your hand if you have an answer. Raise your hand if you are the answer. There you go. That's the reality. You are the dwelling places of God. It says lovely, and it could be understood as beautiful. That's true, okay? But the actual, the central facet of the word there is well-beloved, okay? How well-beloved are you His dwelling places? How amazingly loved you are. It says, how lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. What does O Lord of hosts mean, Mother? Captain of which army?
God's army.
Of the armies of God. So when he says Lord of hosts, he's speaking of power. Okay, he's not just talking about the fact that he's got lots of angels. He's talking about an army of angelic, several armies, okay? So there's a sense of power. So I don't want us to forget that because it starts off. Actually, those are some of the first words in this. I believe they may even be the first words in the Hebrew. I'm not positive of that. But he's saying, O Lord of hosts, this powerful God, how beloved are your dwelling places. Amazingly loved. Verse 2 says this, my soul longs and even yearns for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. I need again to work this through for you. The word courts, whenever I heard this psalm as a child, I was thinking sort of like judicial courts. That's how, you know, when I think court, that's what I think of. That's not this word. Okay, that's not the word at all. In fact, it has nothing to do with judicial. It has to do with like more like a courtyard. Okay, for us, really, it would be better translated backyard. Okay, because the sense is a place of family intimacy. That kind of a court. Okay, so I'm gonna say backyard because I want you to understand what he's saying here. He's saying, my soul longs for and even yearns for hanging out with you in your backyard, okay? This place of intimacy in the family context, okay? That's what this is. My soul longs and even yearns for just being with you in the family context. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. The Passion Translation says it this way, deep within me are these lovesick longings, desires, and daydreams of living in union with you. When I'm near you, my heart and my soul sing and worship with joyful songs of you, my true source and my spring of life. This notion of integrated humanity and Godhead, you can't get away from that. That's what we're about. Verse 4 says, how blessed are those who dwell in your house. That is, the word house here, again, has to do more with like household, family, actually. Okay, so the notion here is how joyful and favored, how incredibly increased are those who are firmly established in your family. Let me just say to you that it is a joyful thing that you are established, connected in, firmly ensconced within the context of the family of God. It's a powerful thing that you have because you are connected. They are ever praising you. Selah. So those are the first four verses, and we're going to get to verses 5 and onward as we go forward. Before that, I'm going to just give you a couple of quick teachings that connect in with science, and so you'll have to deal with another one of my little science, you know, rants here. The first I've entitled Consumptive versus Creative. So now, in our world, physics has shown us the second law of thermodynamics. Second law of thermodynamics says, and let me just say that it's one of the most fundamental laws that we have, okay? Many other laws don't work in certain situations, but the law of thermodynamics has to, okay? It's just how it works, okay? One of the most fundamental things. It says that everything winds down. It says that there starts a bunch of order and it goes toward disorder. It says that if there's a hot place and a cold place, eventually you get kind of a lukewarm nothingness place. They average out to nothing. Okay, that's the second law of thermodynamics. That is the law that works in our physical realm. There's several examples where Father says, I think we won't do that second law of thermodynamics thing. Perhaps the most significant one is when he says, let there be light. Now you may recall in Genesis chapter 1, the earth was formless, that is chaotic, full of disorder, okay, and void, that is empty. So everything, there was chaos and emptiness. And God said, let there be light. And out of chaos came order, and out of emptiness came energy and power and stuff. Let there be light was the ultimate winding up of the whole of our system, okay? The whole of our universal time-based system. Light came out of darkness. Energy came from emptiness. And order came from chaos. Because God said, let there be light. Now, most of the time in our world, we just watch things, you know, descend into disorder. The sun is putting out huge amounts of energy and creating just huge disorder from order, okay? There's order and it's creating disorder all the time. The earth captures a minuscule piece of that, a little tiny bit of the energy that comes out of the sun we capture, but that is the thing that has all the energy for us. And you know, the fact that we had windy days, okay, it was because one part of the earth was heated more than another, and that was cool, and the heat and the cool have to get together and average each other out and balance each other out according to the second law of thermodynamics. And so wind happens, okay, and we have, you know, clouds on the edge of the lake because we have lake effect snow times, okay, because of this impending situation where heat and cool have to undo each other, and all of the energy has to go into the highest degree state of disorder. That's what's happening. Jesus also violated, by his word, the second law of thermodynamics. Perhaps one of the most startling examples was when thermodynamics was working just fine, and the lake that they happened to be sailing on was in a big, huge, chaotic mess, and energy was being smeared around in a very violent way. And out of Jesus' mouth came this word, peace, be still. And boom, order. Well, let me just say, that's creative. The whole of the universe is in a consumptive cycle where everything winds down. But Jesus, the Father, and Jesus are creative, ordering, empowering, filling with light. Creative instead of consumptive.
Lazarus, come forth.
There's another beautiful example. Here's a body decaying for some days, lifelong gone. Biological order is decreasing. It's going down, down, down. You know what? After a very few minutes, it's pretty hard to get that body to go back on again. Okay? We can do it sometimes within a few minutes. It's tough to do. 3 days later, decay is going. Behind the rocks, Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And order that was not became order. That which was not alive became alive. Okay? There's a power that comes out. There's a creative instead of a consumptive thing. Just to let you know, inside of Lazarus' body as it's laying there, there's you know, bacteria. Who knows, maybe bugs. Who knows? I don't even know what all. Okay, but the basic deal is all of everything works to decay it down to the lowest common denominator. And it's used up. And Jesus' word was, Lazarus, come forth. Boom. Life happens. Our Father and our Savior, in whose image we have been both created and then recreated, these are ones who are resourced beyond the boundaries of the universe, empowered beyond the infinite, beyond finite science into the infinite. These are the ones who welcome us to co-create. We're going to look at this again in a moment. But we are those that are called to be in His image, and we are those called to co-create with Him, to bring order from chaos, life from death, to create that which cannot be from physics laws. The nature of God, and therefore the nature of you, your nature, the heart of God sewn inseparably into your personal being, is creative, not consumptive. Okay, so that was one. Second, you know, quick little deal. I want to talk to you about deductive reasoning and inductive reasoning. Maybe I won't. If you're interested, you can come and talk to me, okay?
When Jesus asked the Father to forgive when he was on the cross, that was a huge creative.
Yes, yeah. Recreative, okay? It reestablished an order that was consistent with the heart of God, but inconsistent with what had been happening. And it created something. It created something.
And every time we...
What's that?
That one continues to grow.
Well, I mean, the truth is that what God does always continues to grow. You see, God is never consumptive. He's always creative, okay? So that's the key issue here, is we have to understand that there is something that's temporal, and that temporal thing is always consumptive or decaying. It works with the second law of thermodynamics, okay? And then there is the eternal, and that thing is not decaying, okay? It is actually, there's a scripture that says, you know, in the flesh we decay, but in the spirit we move upward in the order. We ascend in creativity.
Every time we forgive, we participate in that very same event.
That's exactly right. And every time we bless, okay? So you know, when Dorothy's talking to us about a blessing, what we are doing is establishing things that had been decayed, okay? And that's what God does. He does that which is decayed is simple opportunity for us, because we are those who are creative, not consumptive. Because He who resides within us, who's enmeshed within us, His very nature is creative.
And when we love with the love of the Lord, we are creative.
It always has to be that way.
It has to be so. And of course, there is the fake love, the self-generated niceness of religious people, which is just more decay. But there is the love that flows out of the heart of the Father into His children, and through His children into the world, which produces life and wholeness.
And what's the difference, I have a question for you, between you and the Father? What's the difference between your love that He is with, not for your selfish reasons or for your selfish perspectives? What is the difference? Man, hard to tell. Why? Because it comes from the same place, and He's in there, and He's with you, and you're not separate. You're the same. Beware. Yes.
Should be loving and not putting, complaining about and saying all the bad things about the person. I had to repent, and I had to say in front of my family that was wrong, and I shouldn't have done it, and it was a wrong thing to do. I should be repenting. I had to go repent to get that shaking out of me, because I knew it wasn't from God, and it wasn't what God wanted me to do for this person.
Or your family, actually.
Or
your family.
Yep. I have to love this person, because this person has a seed of the Lord, the person,
Shelley,
with your family, okay? So when you did that with the guy, the person, okay, you reestablished your place of blessing. That was creating new order, okay, that had been decayed. When you did it in front of your family, you released that order into your family, that empowerment, that light, that life-giving nature of God began to be released into your family. Again, those were creative postures. Our true repentance is always back toward who God is. And therefore, it's always a creative direction. It creates something. It's a beautiful thing. Back to Psalm chapter 84. How well beloved are you, his dwelling places? The dwelling places of the God of armies. Our souls, they long to be intimately acquainted in his backyard, hanging out with him all day long, if at all possible. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. How blessed are those who are established in your family, integrated into your household. Then verse 5. And it's out of verses 1 through 4, this establishment in the household of God, this integration with him, that the other verses come. Verse 5. How blessed is the man whose strength is in you, and whose heart are the highways to Zion. As I read this, I looked it up in the Hebrew. If you look across the various translations, there's kind of like very, very varied translations. But I feel like there's a very straightforward translation that I want you to hear. This is that second in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Actually, they invented the word to Zion in that, and sometimes they say of holiness or this, that, or the other thing. But here's what it actually says. It says, in your hearts, okay, there are stairways. Okay, so I'm going to read it to you in context. Okay, so how blessed is the man whose strength is in you? Staircases are in their hearts. Okay, let me just say to you, integrated inside of your heart is the very nature of God. And in that, there's a promotion for you, but there's an arising. There's a different nature that goes upward instead of downward. Inside of your very heart is the normal God thing is ascending inside of you. Thus it says, how blessed is the man whose strength is in you. Verse 6. Okay, so let me just say, it's out of this time, is this focus on him. Remember this, okay? And I don't feel like I could possibly overstress, you love because you're first loved. I don't think I could possibly stress that the currency of your love is that you can distribute is the same thing that you have been given. You don't distribute love that you haven't been given. So it's essential to receive in order to give. Never lose that. So verses 1 through 4, it's all about receiving. Verse 5, you're strong there. You're powerful there. Inside your heart, there's like an escalator, a stairway, a viaduct, something that takes you up. Verse 6, passing through the valley of weeping, they make it a spring. Okay. So in difficult times, they create something out of those difficult times.
So it says, passing through the valley of weeping, they make it a spring. And this next part also, I'd like to just, it says the early rain also covers it with blessings. And they actually had to switch it around, switch some of the words around to get it right, or to get it that way. But the more straightforward is blessings cover the teachings. Okay, so let me talk to you about that for a moment, okay? The reality is, here we are in a place of difficulty, okay?
And in it, we say we. We make it a spring. Who does it? In the place of crying, you get to create a spring, not just for you, but for those around you. A spring. What's a spring? Anybody? It just keeps flowing. Okay, that's the deal. It's a place where water flows out of the ground. So here you have weeping, water flowing out of your eyeballs, okay? And you turn that location into a spring that blesses you and blesses those around you. And then it says, blessings cover the teaching. So, you know, yeah, in your difficulty, you learn things. That's true. But let me tell you, the blessing covers the teaching, okay? Bigger than that, you're covered by the blessing. Verse 7, they go from strength to strength. Say, I go from strength to strength. Say that, I go from strength to strength. Let me just tell you something. The whole world is going from strength to weakness, from order to disorder, from top to bottom. Everything's decaying, but not you. Because you are ruled by a different set of rules. If I talk to you about inductive and deductive reasoning, one of the problems that people, religious people have, okay, is that they attempt to take what they can see and make that God too. Like God has to decay. Like he has to obey the rules. The scribes and Pharisees did that all the time. But here's the deal. He's got different rules because he's sourced in a different dimension. So now I have a question for you. Which rules are you sourced in? Just wondering. I thought that perhaps the heart of God and you are intermeshed inseparably. The truth is you are rooted in the outer dimensions where creativity is the rule. That's how it works. The truth. They go from strength to strength. My translation says, every one of them appears before God in Zion. The straightforward translation is, he sees all the way to God in Zion. Straightforwardly, that's what it says. Okay, they go from strength to strength. He sees all the way to God. Now, I've told you a million times, and I'll tell you 1.7 million times more. How do you pray? How do you know anything? You see what he's up to. You see what he's saying. You hear what he's up to. You hear what he's saying. And then you know something. And then you know how to pray. And then you know how to walk. How do you walk? By the one that's integrated inside of you. Okay? So they go from strength to strength. Each of us sees to God in Zion. Very reminiscent of that Ephesians section. He blesses us with every spiritual blessing. Everything that he has is yours. That's facts. And then, of course, verse 8, O God, O Lord God of hosts, God of angel armies, God of the many armies, of all power, hear my prayer. When Jesus reprimanded the Sadducees one time, he said, you don't understand the scriptures, and you don't understand the power of God. Remember that? Want to know what? You have access to see into the heavenlies, see that, what he says to you, what he shows you, believe that, and then say, Lord of all power, Lord of all armies, Lord of all armies, hear my prayer. Come into agreement with what he has shown you, and the release of power is yours. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, that is, look to you or provide our shield, O God.
and look upon the face of your anointed with pleasure, with your favor, with your kindness. We whom you have anointed by your Spirit. For a day in your courts, for a day hanging out with you in the backyard, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God, in the household with him, than dwell in the tents of righteousness, or wickedness, I'm sorry. Just one day of intimacy with you is like 1,000 days elsewhere. For the Lord your God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. I have a question for you. Does he give you his favor? Is he about favoring you? Is he about glorifying you? He is, actually, as it turns out. The Lord gives grace and favor. If you read Ephesians chapter 1, which I meant to read, but I just feel like I have so much to give today. Didn't want to get too late. So go ahead and read Ephesians chapter 1. You'll see. He gives glory to you. And it's to his glory. So there's no loss here. There's no loss when he's intermeshed with you. He gives grace, his favor on you, and glory. And then here's a key verse, and I want you to hear this. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. The word good there, I looked it up. You know what it means? Anything good at all. The biggest sense of the word good. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. The word uprightly has to do with integrity. Walking before the Lord, clearly, integrity. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Say, no good thing does he withhold from me. Say that. No good thing does he withhold from me. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the one who trusts in you. Say, I trust in you. I trust in you. So here's this is Psalm chapter 84. How lovely. This is God's perspective on you. How lovely are his tabernacles, his dwelling places. How lovely. He loves you. How well beloved you are. He loves it when you're with him. You love it when you're with him. The truth of the matter is that's life-giving. Don't get very far away from that. Out of that union comes the creative power of God. He's powerfully creative, not consumptive. He's ordering, enlightening, reviving. That's what he does. That's who he is. That's who you are. How blessed is the one whose strength is in him. That's you. There's stairways in your hearts. Multiple ones. Stairways, plural. Numerous ways up that God has established in your heart because he's there. That's what he does. Even passing through valleys of weeping, you establish springs. You. Well, yeah, he's with you in it. I agree with you. Okay, so yeah, you could say he does. I don't care. Except I'd like you to know it's you. And you go from strength to strength because you see God in Zion. And what you see, you declare. And he hears your prayer. And he's God of all the armies of heaven. You're not those. You are not those who are ignorant of the power of God.
You see, you know. No good thing does he withhold from you. He loves to give grace and glory. He favors you and glorifies you, and in that you glorify him. How blessed is the one who trusts in you, O God. I'd like us all to, for the moment, just close our eyes. And I'd like you just to put your heart in a position of worship. I'd like you to even now look to your God and see him. Father, thank you so much that you love me and that you love these, your precious ones. Lord, I just release the love of God over this place in fresh measure. We worship you. You are the one who is so good, always so good. No good thing do you ever withhold. Your goodness pursues us and chases us down. Your favor, because of your kind intentions, your favor just continues to acquire more and more of us. You have established in each one of these strongholds of your love. And those strongholds are like springs of living water right in the middle of each of these. Thank you for the springs that you've poured into us and you continue to pour. Thank you that each one of these hearts has within it numerous springs of your love. We worship you, for you are the one who in our own hearts is creating and pouring forth and pouring forth. Thank you that you pour forth your love within us. Pour forth your love. And that you pour forth your creativity and your life-giving flow. Pour forth your life. That you create light and life and truth. And you pour it forth. Thank you. We worship you. We worship you and we love you. We delight in you. Being with you in your backyard. Being connected and established in your family. It is such a delight to us. We just worship you. We love you. We delight in this connectivity to you. We love you, Heavenly Father. We delight in the creativity that you desire to flow out from us. We choose to open our eyes to see you, to see what you're about, to open our ears to hear you, to hear what you're doing. Yes, in our own lives and in our families and in our neighbors and all of the areas that we can impact. Oh, what a delight to be a source of your creative power, your life. We recognize that because you are so enmeshed within us, that we are actually like creative points that you have created in the universe. And so we will be those that release your power, your goodness, your truth, your life. We welcome our eyes and the eyes of our hearts to see you. We welcome them and we even command them to cause us to see you and to know you so that we can collaborate with you in the release of your creative power. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for fellowshipping with us and being connected to us. Such an amazing, glorious thing. Thank you for the kindness of your heart toward us that gives us your favor. Undeserved, that's true. It doesn't matter. You just do it. You even just like call us deserving because you want to. We worship you. We delight in you. We're grateful. bless you.
We love you. Worthy, worthy, worthy are you of our praise. We adore you. We adore being connected with you. We're so grateful. So, so grateful.
Creativity, to your love received, to your love given. You are my King and my God. We worship you. Amen. Much grace to you. Much grace to you as you live receptively in the love of God and as you live generously. Productively, creatively, in the love of God. Pour it out. Love you all. Grace, grace to you.